Great. Good afternoon. Welcome. Do you know, the guys that lead us in worship, do all the tech, they do an incredible job. Oh, yeah, go on. I mean, and do you know what? Every now and again, you get one of those mornings where the tech is all over the shop. But just their ability to adapt and just walk straight back into the presence of the Lord. I remember, do you remember valves? You know, and they, you know, we used to, in the olden days, have valves, and once they were working, they were working. And with all the digital stuff, all the computers can go haywire. None of you remember valves, do you? Oh, I'm showing my age. But I always know when all of that goes haywire, God has something to say to us. Because he's getting our attention. Because sometimes we can just be in a place where, yeah, it's all working, everything's doing, and we go through the motions. And every now and again, the Lord disrupts things or allows things to be disrupted. So what I want to talk a little bit, and I'm going to talk quite quickly, about worship and healing. I think the greatest healing we can have in our lives is when our lives are reordered how God made us. So the reason sickness, or one of the reasons the sickness comes into our lives is because our lives are not in order with how God has made us, and sickness came into the world. And as we worship Jesus, as we come into the presence of God, he reorders us. And we see through the New Testament, whenever people worship, miracles start to happen. So when the wise men worship, they come to the baby, miracles start to happen. The leper worships and is healed. The ruler who has a sick daughter comes and worships Jesus and his daughter gets healed. When Peter walks on water, the disciples worship Jesus, because the miracles are breaking out. The Gentile mother whose daughter has a demon worships Jesus and her daughter is healed. The Gadarean demoniac, the crazy person who they couldn't restrain and who lived amongst the tombs, falls on his face before Jesus and worships him and is set free. The blind man in John 8 worships Jesus and receives his sight, and at the resurrection, they worship Jesus because the King of Kings has been raised from the dead. You see, we were created in the image of God so that we can know God and that we can walk with God. And Jesus tells us that God is spirit. And so he desires to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And when we start to worship in spirit and in truth, miracles start to break out amongst us. The presence of God manifests himself. So if you've got a Bible, find Acts chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 23. Why don't you stand again? We're going to read the Word of God. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, we're talking about Peter and John, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and all the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. And that was the crucifixion of Jesus. Now look at their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Say amen. Amen. Take a seat. You see, when the early church gathered together to worship, healing, signs and wonders were released, and buildings were shaken. Now, I've only seen this once, and it wasn't actually when we were gathered together worshiping like this. It was when my son Joel was born, however many years ago. And we were in the delivery suites, and Juliet was doing her stuff, and I was looking on, feeling a little bit like a spare part. And we hadn't decided what we were going to call him yet. And literally, as he was born, there was this, it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, something like, it was a hot summer's day, and there was this enormous clap of thunder, and the whole building shook. It went bang, and literally, the place just shuddered, and we jumped. You know, what was that? And so we called him Joel. And over the years, he's had lots of prophetic words about thunder. And as we were just thinking, we were away in the week, and we were with some other pastors, and we were talking a little bit about what God is doing here. And just how one of the dynamics of as we've worshipped and as we've come into the presence of Jesus, lots of the young have come forward. And they come forward to worship. And we realized that one of the reasons they're coming forward to worship is there's this incredible hunger for the Lord, but the Lord is raising sons and daughters of thunder in his house. And one of the, as we were talking about it, it dawned on us, you know, that it sometimes might feel that this area has been taken over, and you could easily feel, oh, they're there and I'm here. But one of the things that has happened is that people that are you know, my age have started coming forward to worship and are standing alongside them, and so there's this. Growing swell of people coming forward, and then further back, people raising their hands and stepping out. And what the Lord is doing is he's raising sons and daughters of thunder, just like James and John. Jesus called them Boanerges in Mark chapter 3, which means sons of thunder. And there is a stirring going on in people's hearts and lives. So I want to talk a little bit about that, but I want to talk about this reordering that's happening. So we were created spirit, soul, and body, okay? But in the garden, sin enters, and because of sin, we become reordered body, soul, and spirit, or flesh, soul, and spirit. So God says this in Genesis 6, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh." What God is saying is, I created him to be spirit-led, but what has happened, he's become flesh-led. Our flesh took over and our spirit was subdued. And no matter what we did, flesh ruled and we sinned. So we were dead in our sins. That's why Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again, water and spirit. So when you are born again, your spirit wakens, and it often feels like the lights have come on. Everything looks different. I was living this way, but I had an encounter with Jesus. My spirit is alive, and now everything looks different. So Paul writes this when he writes to the Galatians. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He's saying, I have been, because Jesus gave himself for me, I have been crucified with Jesus. My old life is gone. I'm still living in my flesh. My body is still very much here, but now Christ has made his home in me, and all my faith is in him because he gave himself for me, which is really good news. So now, that's it. I'm a Christian. My sin has been paid for, and now it's all glory. I don't have any problems anymore. Every morning I wake up full of the Holy Spirit. Mountains quake before my presence. Everybody speaks well of me. My boss is the most beautiful person that has ever walked the planet. And Jesus is always so close, I never doubt. Yes or no? Well, sometimes yes. I mean, obviously, if you work for me, it's fine, but actually, sometimes it's no, isn't it? That's why Paul goes on in Galatians 5:25, and he says, and those who are Christ's, those who've given their life to Jesus, have crucified the flesh. So he's saying we've been crucified, but we're saying we're crucifying the flesh with its passions and desires. And he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. And you might say, well, I thought I was alive in Christ. Yes, you are. You are now aware of the cost that Jesus paid to rescue each one of you. The Holy Spirit is now bubbling up inside of you, and you are alive because your spirit is now alive. So those who are in Christ still have to daily crucify the flesh. You see, your flesh has been in charge for a long while, and it doesn't like being crucified. So it tries, if your flesh is anything like mine, it tries to crawl off the altar. Have you ever had that experience? So Paul says you've been crucified, but you have to daily put your flesh to the cross so that your reordered life can grow. So we keep our flesh on the cross so that we can learn to walk by the Spirit. There is a reordering that goes on. So this is why we say when you're saved, you are saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. You're justified just as if I'd never sinned, but you are being sanctified, becoming more and more like Jesus. Does this make sense? Yep, that's good. Yeah, probably third. So the psalmist writes this. How do we reorder things so that our spirit is leading us and not the flesh crawling off the altar? The psalmist says this, as a deer pants for the water brooks, this is Psalm 42, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? This hunger is now inside of us for the presence of God. And you know, the deer seeks water for two reasons. Number one, because they're thirsty. And number two, because he's being hunted. When we seek God, he satisfies us, but he also protects us so no enemy can touch us. So when you find water, praise erupts within us, which is what we were just doing. So let me give you some examples. And some of these will relate, some of these won't. You're a family, young family. You're driving to church. You know, you've not slept well the night before. The kids are yelling. You're yelling back at them. You've had an argument because one of you wasn't ready. You're now running late. And so you arrive to worship. Your soul is thirsty. We're here. Panting for water because you desperately need God. But your flesh says, I'm here, I've got my heaven stamp, I'll just sit and rest now. That's not worship, that's showing up. You see, so we crucify our flesh and we press into the presence of God, and whatever that looks like. You see, our flesh feels tired, but our spirit is longing for refreshment. And as the spirit receives refreshment, so does the flesh. And the flesh starts to get healed. Two people, good. Okay, let's try another one. You're in a difficult season. Tim did a great talk last week about pain. If you haven't heard it, you can go on the watch back and listen. You know, so you're in a difficult season. Nothing seems to be working well. You're under attack. And your flesh just doesn't feel like worshiping Jesus. But the deer, okay, knows there is another reason for that he needs water or presence, if you like. You see, if you get in the water, the enemy loses your scent. So the reason the deer goes to water is to so that the enemy that it's being hunted by will lose its scent and it passes you by. So you rejoice because you're in the water. And so when we're in the water, our enemies pass us by. But your flesh looks at the water and goes, I'm not getting in there, it's too cold. There's nothing that's going to get me in that water. But your spirit is going, jump, jump, get in the water. You need to be in there. And there's this struggle that goes. Anybody ever feel there's five, good. So you yield and you make that jump, and the refreshment of the water is felt by the whole body. And the enemy passes you by. So Isaiah 12 says, therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. So we're in that water. Another one. How about this? Your soul is convicted by the Holy Spirit. You know, we've got tons of new Christians around here at the moment, which is just thrilling. So the reason we teach the ways of God is so that we'll know how to live. Now we follow Christ. And one of the things we're saying is don't live together without getting married. You don't get the convenience without the covenant. Or maybe you're out and you drink too much, or you lie. So you feel the conviction of the Spirit. Now, your soul and your spirit, they just want to run forward into the presence of God. They're not ashamed. They don't, your old life has died on the cross. All your sin has been paid for. They want to be free. But your flesh pins you to the chair and says, don't tell anyone. Don't confess. Don't do this. Stay in this. Because the flesh still quite likes it. But your soul and your spirit is going, no, Jesus has paid. Jesus has set us free. We're going to run into his presence. We're not ashamed of the sin because the sin has all been paid for. We're now free, but in his presence, there's forgiveness and life. And that's where we get free. And so we drag the flesh along. You see, your spirit does not react from shame, but it longs for the refreshment that comes from the Holy Spirit. Or last one. When we come to Jesus, we often have wounds. You know, we come with baggage, and we leave that baggage at the cross when we give our life to Jesus. But there are scars, and there's pains in our body of things that have happened in the past. You know, maybe hurts, disappointments, all sorts of things. And in the past, the way we dealt with that pain was we medicated it with many things, with drugs, alcohol, sex, money. You know, it's interesting that when Paul writes to the Ephesians, he says, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Much better solution. And the woman of the well, she had five husbands because she didn't have children. The true healing comes from his spirit, leading your spirit into his life. So we are learning to crucify the flesh and not medicate the pain with the things we used to, but rather allow the life of the Spirit to rise up and to come into His presence, to jump into the water and allow Him to transform us and to deal with the pain. And Tim put it really nicely last week about how we are in His presence and He leads us out of the pain. We don't medicate it, hoping it will go away. We walk with Jesus out of the pain into life. You know, that's one of the reasons why we fast. The flesh hates it. I hate fasting. It makes me hungry. But it's the flesh that's hungry. But while my body is hungry, the spirit rises up and is refreshed. That's one of the reasons we do it. One of the things I love about when I'm out in the Viña Mienta is that the excitement and the hunger to come into the presence of God. So whether they're leading people to Jesus or they're praying for the sick or they're responding to an altar call, they run forward. And one of the jobs of the teenagers, I know the teenagers all went out, is to stop people responding because they're so hungry, they're so thirsty, so they hold them back. That's a great job for teenagers. Wouldn't it be great if the teenagers can't go out there for, number one, there's not enough room, and number two, that we need them in here because there is so much hunger for the Spirit of God that they have to hold people back from responding. Give teenagers a little bit of power. They love it, all right? And so when I'm out there, what they do is they hold everyone back, and then when the preaching or the call comes, they literally run forward because there's this thirst for the Holy Spirit. Now, they always put me on one of the front rows, and it's taken me 6 or 7 years to figure this out. It's not so I get a good view. It's so I can be up first. It's not so I can see what's going on. It's so I can get up first and run to be at the front. They're making it easier for me, an English person, all right, who isn't used to doing this. And as I've responded and as I come into the presence of the Lord, my life is being transformed. We were just thinking about this week. I'm a different person because the Spirit of God is working in my heart. You see, our flesh is too cool for school, all right? But when you reorder the flesh so your spirit now leads the soul and flesh, the flesh gets healed and the whole person becomes ablaze for praise. So I'm too cool for school. But when my life is reordered, I become ablaze on fire to praise God. That is the transformation that happens in our life. And you see, it's important how I worship is a reflection of the state of the reorder in my life. So if I'm in worship and my face looks like the backside of a bus, something is wrong. Something has happened. And Tim talked brilliantly about sometimes we're in pain and sometimes that, and all of that's okay. But there's this like blankness that can come. That's what I mean about, buses are pretty flat and dirty and mucky. There's just nothing there. But when I come into worship, my spirit pulls me into the presence with the Holy Spirit of God. My flesh will try and hold me back, but my spirit is longing for the Lord because my spirit is created for the miraculous. Jesus tells the religious leaders, if these people don't shout their praises, the very stones will start crying out to the Lord. You see, Jesus is putting a song in our hearts. Okay, I think this is important. And this song keeps on going even when we walk out of here. You know, as I walk, you know, I've got a really simple song, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. You know, there might be a new one this morning, More Power, More Love, More of You in My Life. But there's he places a song inside of us. And even when we're out of here, this song wells up and we start singing it. And we yield to it because it is a song of the Spirit in our lives. It's coming from the heart. And as we do it, it's reordering our life. It's subduing the flesh and releasing the Spirit in our lives. There is a song arising from this house. So whenever you step into worship, you raise a hand, you move in dance, that the flesh is worried, oh, you'll look foolish. John Wimber used to say, die, sucker. But he was talking about the flesh. Your spirit is longing for an encounter with Jesus Christ. And as we run into his presence, his desire is that the miraculous would break out and literally the house would shake. Not by the PA going wrong, but the presence and the glory of God shaking the house. You see, my flesh is holding me like a wooden Indian, and that's what I'm battling with, me. All right, my body just does this. Some of you guys that can groove, you're blessed. My body just does this. And so the Spirit is swaying me inside. I'm getting much better, all right? And the other morning, it was a few weeks ago, I found myself marching like this. There is a march happening in me. You know, guys, if you don't want to groove, march, all right? I mean, it looks better. Personally, grooving looks more fun, but sadly, at the moment, my body doesn't do that. So there's no hope. It's all good as long as I'm daily crucifying my flesh, and it starts in worship. It starts with this song that he's placing inside of us. And I just want to say, I have a vision for this church, and it's the children dancing. Whenever we come in this place, running around the place, dancing before the Lord. It's the young people grooving or doing their moves because they do it so much better than me. It's men lifting up holy hands in abandonment to Jesus Christ. And it's women weeping in tears of joy because of the safety of the wing of the Lord over this house, because his protection is here. And it's the building shaking because the glory of the Lord descends on this house. That's what the Lord is doing. That's what is coming. And that's the song and the desire he wants to put inside of us. But it starts in worship, and he is reordering our life. When you gave your life to Jesus, you died with him. But what he's doing now is transforming your life so that as you walk with him, your spirit is responding to the Holy Spirit and you become a new person. And that as you become a new person, your flesh is healed and restored. I'm done. You stand up.